Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
All right, coming up, 1-866-823-1077, right here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. We'll talk about your Second Amendment rights, as well as your right to defend yourself.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Okay, as a lot of people are talking today about the Steven Spader jury coming back and finding him guilty on all charges, making him serve, which will likely lead him to serve the rest of his life and who knows how many other lifetimes behind bars. Steven Spader found guilty by the jury just moments ago, as we heard here on The Pulse. 1-866-823-1077, and that leads us into our discussion with attorney Penny Dean here for Second Amendment Tuesdays. Hi, Penny.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Oh, good, good. It's going to be a happy day then.
I hope it's better than what we had to start with today.
Oh, bad weather, huh?
No, I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about the story here. Everything else before that is just a blur in my mind now.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's one of those things that you sometimes can't believe the things that happen.
Right, exactly. And a lot of people can't seem to believe it either. I mean, this has been the talk of the state, especially in anticipation of the jury coming to its decision, with a lot of people, you know, talking about it and placing themselves placing them in that situation. The husband's gone out of town on a business trip. The woman's home alone. You know, they got the daughter there. And how many women have woken up in the middle of the night worried that such a thing could happen to them?
Absolutely.
With a union leader story on Sunday quoting a Manchester woman saying she's thinking of buying a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is that you know, that something similar horrible happened last night in New Hampshire.
Oh?
At least according to the 11 o'clock news, and things are preliminary, but evidently there had been a family, or at least a mother and a young son, dead.
Oh, this is the one in Auburn.
Auburn, yep.
Yes.
And I haven't heard, you know, on the news last night, they had preliminary information, and so they weren't sure if it was a home invasion or what it was. And like everything else, the question is, what happened there? I don't know what happened there. You know, and I don't think anyone does. The news had been given just bits and pieces. But the bottom line is, we've had what I call these horrible killings throughout the state, even in quote-unquote safe Concord. You know, downtown, there's been about four home invasions.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Robberies. Home invasions and robberies, not in murders, but robberies. But what I'm trying to say is, anybody who's willing to burglarize an occupied dwelling, in my mind, is crazy.
Well, yeah.
they're just crazy. And so what's to keep them, if one of them sets off or goes off the deep end, from killing human beings, from doing whatever horrible thing they want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Spader trial, you know, has been an example of they didn't hate these people. They didn't know these people. They picked, sadly for those, the family, they picked them randomly. They just went in because they did.
They picked the house because it was
isolated.
There was no barking dog to alert anybody to a possible intruder. You know, that was one of the things that came up in a news story, I think, last night. And it was like, oh, yeah.
Well, the other thing is, like in Concord, it's very populated. There's a lot of houses, but there still have been home invasions, you know, and that's really a very, very scary thing. And I tell people, and that kind of comes into our, what I call case of the day, and it's a really sad case. And, of course, now I'm probably going to mispronounce these people's names, Mudlinski. And do you know how to say it correctly? It's spelled M LODZINSKI.
You're closer than what I probably would have come up with.
Yes, so I'm apologizing in advance for mispronouncing these people's names.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a case that came out of Bristol, and it happened in 2006. And it's a federal suit, and now notice the opinion is not for publication. However, people certainly can look at it and hopefully learn from it. And the basic thing that happened there is that this was a second marriage where the couple had children, each of them, from previous marriages that lived with them. And one of their sons was accused of using a baton and hitting a person. And now, even when you use a baton and insult a person, that's not a good thing. But the person that he allegedly assaulted went home from the hospital that night. So it can't have been a serious injury.
Uh-huh.
And the problem that I see that happened in this particular case, and I tell people this because we as armed citizens cannot, even if it's an unlawful invasion or an improper search warrant, it's like you can't physically resist when you're being arrested. Mm-hmm. When the police come into your house in the middle of the night and batten down your door in a no-knock warrant, you have to really, when you're an armed citizen, and this is a really, really high burden and very hard thing to do, you have to determine, is this the police breaking down my door with some sort of so-called lawful warrant, or is this the scumbums coming in to kill me and my family in the middle of the night?
Which is why they should be, A, wearing clothing that would identify themselves clearly as a police officer, and B, they should be coming in, police, 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 you know, like that.
But worse yet, the question that we have to ask ourselves, okay, as a society, that's exactly what they should be doing, is, why in the world would a no-knock nighttime warrant be issued for a 17 or 18 or 19-year-old male with no prior criminal history who allegedly biffed someone with a baton when he can be found every day wandering the world?
Right.
Okay, this kid wasn't going anywhere. You know, he'd lived in that area for a long time. He could be found with his family every day. Why in the world, what judge issues a nighttime no-knock warrant? I mean, you have to think about this.
What did they do? Send in a SWAT team? Is that what they did?
They did send in the SWAT team, and here's what the SWAT team said in the report, that for 5 hours before this bashing down their door and rushing in with all these men, they watched the house, and you know what the people did? They turned their lights off and appeared to go to sleep at night.
Okay.
So that's a sign of a really dangerous group, don't you think? Okay, so for 5 hours before they execute this no-knock warrant, they've got all these officers doing surveillance on the house. And they're seeing that the family turns out their lights and goes to bed like most normal people do. At 11 p.m., Lewis set up two surveillance teams. Now, Lewis is part of the special ops, okay? They set up two surveillance teams, each comprised of two Bristol police officers outside Rothman's residence, where Lewis knew these people resided. Now, they watch for hours, and they choose at 4 a.m. in the morning to use a battering ram and batter down the door of these people's house and come in screaming, police, 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 and all of the other things. Now, you can imagine when you're woke out of a sound sleep, that it's going to take you a minute to recognize what's happening.
Yeah.
And especially, and in this particular case, and the reason I tell people this is you really, if you're an armed citizen, you really have to get your wits about you. But think about how many times, for example, in the Rochester area, people who had, there's been at least two or three instances of gentlemen who had cars with lights on them and were impersonating police.
Right.
Okay. And so the question you have to ask yourself, is this really the police? Or is this bad people impersonating the police as has been done in the past?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who is this here? And the question is, how do you respond? And here's the thing that I've been thinking about, because these people were awakened by the sound of a battering ram breaking down the front door. Now, it isn't like a drug house where you can flush drugs down the toilet. This young man was accused of having a baton. So could he have flushed that baton down the toilet?
No.
Yeah, batons generally don't flush on the toilet. And so the question is, why couldn't they just simply knock on the door and execute a normal search warrant? Now, in this particular case, and the reason I tell people about these things, because they say, okay, we have a 15-year-old Jessica clad in underwear and T-shirt got out of her bed in response to the noise. Okay. She opens the door to her room to find a masked man in military fatigues pointing an assault rifle at her face, yelling, "Get down," palms in the air. Now, this man was Defendant Richard Arell, an officer with the CNHSOU. Basically, it's the SWAT team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, she says these people, you know, you don't see anything about police insignia or anything at this point. She thought she could tell, she thought she was told she could get up. She tried to get up. She was pushed back on the ground.
Mm.
Now, in this particular case, these people were handcuffed and had guns held to their head for 45 minutes, 15-year-old kids.
Hmm.
And so the question that we as armed citizens have to ask ourselves is, she says they weren't yelling police. They were yelling, "Get down on the ground." That's the same thing that armed robbers would say.
Right.
And so how would an average citizen know whether or not this is the police doing a lawful search warrant, or this is some armed home invasion, as this happened all the time? And so it's the thing that citizens have to ask themselves. And here's what I was thinking of about this. In Florida, if anyone goes to Florida, because of the hurricanes, in Florida, home doors open outwards. You know, the exterior door of a house opens outward. And that's so when the hurricane winds push on the house, they're more likely to push the door in rather than to rip them off their hinges, right?
I'm trying to think. My family is South Florida, and I don't remember their doors opening outwards.
Oh, wow. Every place I've been to, the doors open outward.
How about
in Florida?
That?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, everyone I've been to in Florida, and they've all told me it's because of the hurricane. So that's funny. No, you were.
And my family's in Miami.
They have hurricanes there.
Yeah, they do. they have some doozies, too.
Yeah. And so, no, everywhere I've been, which is, you know where the shuttle is? What's that, Cape Canaveral and all
yes.
that area?
Uh-huh.
And Orlando and Maitland and all that.
Right.
Every place that I've been to, the doors open out.
Well, how about that?
Yeah. But here's the thing that I'm thinking of for in the case of this, and I was thinking about this the other day. Why wouldn't we, and I'm being serious here, when you're building a new house or replacing a door or anything, make a door that opens out? Because think about it. If a person's using a battering ram, isn't it much easier for a battering ram to batter in a door that goes in? Think about it. If your door opened outward, how hard would it be for a battering ram to batter that down?
Sure.
It'd be much harder.
Yep.
And I can tell you, my next door, it's going to be open outward. I just thought about that. I had installed a new door a couple, 3 years ago. And I'm thinking, gal darn, had I thought about this, I'd go the other way.
Well, anyway, 1-866-823-1077. Attorney Penny Dean joining us here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. We're going to take a time out here, Penny, and we'll take listeners' questions as well as some other topics that you may wish to discuss with us as well, right here on Second Amendment Tuesdays with me, your host, Bulldog Brian Tilton, along with Attorney Penny Dean on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.